This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and our guest today is Veronica Clark. She is the author of several books, including Werewolves of the Iron Cross, A New Look at Hitler's Armed Forces, and that came out in February 2011. She also wrote Black Nazis, A Study of Racial Ambivalence in Nazi Germany's Military Establishment. She is a translator and editor of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, The Hyenas of High Finance. And the latest one is one that she has discussed briefly today, and that is, let me backtrack here. What is the name of it?
The Union Jackal?
Yes, but
Hitler and Himmler Uncensored.
But it has a subtitle. I'm looking for the subtitle here. Okay. Werewolves of the Iron Cross, The Union Jackal.
England's Bloody Path to Empire and Downfall.
Yes.
In parentheses.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, with that, let me just quickly go over why is Hitler so hated? It's covertly, but at the same time, he's covertly and oddly respected by Anglo-Saxondom today, because what one will find is a strange obsession and dichotomy in the Daily Mail, the Telegraph, the Guardian, these various papers, and this is all in the Union Jackal. What is it about the Nazis' National Socialism that makes it so universally condemned by elites, policymakers, and academicians worldwide? This is what I've come to, and this is only recently. It was the triumph of the middle and working classes over the upper class, the effective ruling of a nation by the middle class, which is average and real people like you and I. This is what I suspect is at the core of British and Anglo-American hatred of NS Germany and Adolf Hitler in particular. The Nazis proved that elites are not needed to run a nation or conduct a war effectively. And as most of us are aware, British society, and by extension Anglo-Saxondom worldwide, is the most classist, certainly among the most classist, in the world today. And the British are definitely the most classist of the whites. You won't see this same level of classism in Europe.
Right.
So basically, Dr. Springborn and this Wolf Christian Meyer, who he's the author of Allianz, and that's going to be a future translation, they believe this classism is why the Jews and Anglos got on so well, that Anglo-Saxondom was and remains Zionism's and thereby Judaism's force multiplier. Without Anglo-Saxons, the Jews have little to no power, and this point really can't be emphasized enough. And it's why we see professors like Randall Bightwork doing what they do on the internet. I mean, there is no other explanation, in my view, and I've read quite a bit. It really is, at its core, the middle class triumphed over the upper class. And that's why the German elites were so vicious to Hitler, and they literally ripped their nation apart and destroyed him. At least his war, you know, there is over their own people.
Yes.
Sold out their own nation and people.
Yes.
Insane.
One of our listeners, Tom, you just probably answered this question, but he said it's not the Anglo-Saxon people. It is the government, bankers, UN, mm-hmm. who direct the support for Zionism. But it started basically when the Jews went from Amsterdam to
right.
England and were welcomed there.
Okay,
right?
we'll come back to that.
All right, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Slings. guns are now available for civilian uses. Order yours in camo, black, and any custom unit colors. Call 877-MY-BUNKER, the Battle Rifle All-Purpose Carrier. Put your rifle safely where it needs to be, at the ready, for a moment's notice. Your rifle is not leaning on a tree or in your trunk. It's with you when you need it. Rifles or shotguns will fit comfortably and safely in backpack mode, or transition simply to a tactical single-point harness in seconds. Watch a demonstration of the BRAC at 877mybunker.com. The BRAC is American-made with a lifetime guarantee. BRAC fits your rifles or shotguns, 22s, M16s, your M60, even the Barrett 50 cal, and more. Call 877-MY-BUNKER or go online to 877mybunker.com to see the video. Save 20% now by calling 877-MY-BUNKER. That's 877-692-8653 and mention you heard this ad on RBN. Save 20%. Just mention you heard it on RBN.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Our bodies have different needs from person to person. Some need more of this, some more of that. But what is consistently the same about everyone is that we all need multiple vitamins and nutrients every day. But how to decide what's best? So many products out on the market make claims of being the best. Well, they can't all be the best. How can you know? Read and compare. Daniel Chapter 1's Endo 24 is packed full of all the vitamins, nutrients, protein, and carbs you need. Compared to Ensure or SlimFast, Endo 24 blows them out of the water completely. Get your full day supply of nutrients in Endo 24. Call 800-504-5511. That's 800-504-5511. And use the promo code 100A for a discount. That's promo code 100A. Call the order center and get your Endo 24, the full multivitamin, multinutrient meal replacement.
Our guest today is Veronica Clark, and since Purim falls this year on March 8th, Thursday, March 8th, I expect that the invasion of Iran will begin on that day or within a few days thereafter. And if that is the case, then we will probably know who's behind it.
Right, and that'll be interesting. I definitely think it's imminent. It's being pushed too much in the media. They need to do it now. Israel knows it has to act now or it's going to be too late. Iran is very powerful. So,
yes.
And I don't believe they yet have a functioning nuclear weapon.
No.
And that's why Israel wants to get them before they do, because they know they're capable.
Sure.
Right. It's the insurance policy against invasion.
Yeah, and that's why they've been the Mossad has been killing their scientists.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, you were going to, right before we went to the break, you were going to address something. What was that? It had to do with Amsterdam, that the Jews left Amsterdam.
Oh, yes, I agree with that to an extent. And Springborn and this Wolf Christian Meyer both get into that. So the second half of the Union Jackal really gets into the details of that, especially Chapter 27, The Chosen People. And that is literally Springborn's, that's his heading, you know, direct translation. But the question is, and we all have to ask ourselves this, is why is it that the Jews went to England and really made their nest egg there and even took over the whole entire banking operation of the British Empire, which was quite effective and influential in the world then, and not anywhere else? Because Jews went to other places too. Why did those races not get in with the Jews like the English did?
Yes, that is interesting. Of course, they've done it in this country also.
And we're primarily Anglo-Saxon. We are an Anglo-Saxon former colony. We still have a predominantly Anglo-Saxon culture.
Yes. And all the countries that you mentioned that support Zionism are all colonies.
Right. You know? They're all former colonies. They still are de facto.
Yeah. <laughs> They really are.
So this is a question that just recently came to me after writing this book. It's been a real learning experience for me. And I think the gist of the problem is captured in the introduction to the second part of the book called The Lost Island, Die Verlorene Insel, which is from a German schoolbook, a Nazi German schoolbook that I found from some Militaria collector. Incredible. I mean, you read this schoolbook, and it's real raw history, not like the sugar-coated nonsense that we've been given. It's just excellent, and it talks about this. It talks about what is it about England. So it really tries to hit at the core of the matter. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with the idea of chosenness that comes from Puritanism, which is you know, an Anglican form of Christianity. The Germans didn't understand the chosenness. They're like, how can one be chosen? We don't understand this peculiar form of Christianity. And this is why I challenge anyone who says that Herrenvolk means master race, that it means, like, in the instance of, like, English, slave versus owner. Because the real term master race, it was coined by an Anglo-Saxon. I believe it was even an American. A Southern American, and it literally referred to the relationship between blacks and whites, master over slave. It was very specific. Now, the English translators have always translated Herrenvolk as master race. I challenge that, and I've had a couple people say, so this one author is going to come along and tell us, you know, Herrenvolk, you know, a million other people say it. It's master race and this one person, how nonsensical. No, I do say that. I challenge anyone who claims that it means master race in the sense that they've made us believe that it means that. It really means white man's burden in relation to fellow whites. What it really means, and Himmler makes this real clear in his speech, I don't know if you've read any of it, we are going to be the kind of fathers of all the other whites in Europe. It was a fatherly white man's burden sort of supremacy. It is a form of supremacy, yes, because they were more capable of running an empire, so to speak, like the Habsburgs, the Hohenzollerns. That's all. Right. They weren't going to exterminate Slavs. Himmler does not make any mention whatsoever of any Ostplan. In fact, what he says is, we've got a lot of learning to do with regard to ruling over Slavs. We need to operate between tolerance and supremacy. We need to be careful how we do this. We need to be mostly benevolent to these people, but also just watch your back.
Right.
You know, based on experience, watch your back, you guys, because this is a heavily mixed race people, and you have a whole range of behaviors therein. So one day they'll be your best friend, the next day they put a bomb under your plate kind of a thing.
Sure.
And this is something that the Germans experienced on the Eastern Front with the different Slavic groups, Serbs, Czechs, Slovenians, Poles, Russians, Ukrainians. And Himmler kind of makes a few silly remarks, like he says the Slavs don't come with an instruction manual. We have to learn how to be like a kind of colonial power like the British did.
Right. Well, it's kind of interesting that you bring that up. Kipling, in November 1898, he was a colleague of Cecil Rhodes and Alfred Milner. sent his poem, The White Man's Burden, to Theodore Roosevelt, his imperialist friend, mm-hmm. encouraging the U.S. to seize the Philippines as the spoils from the Spanish-American War. And he wrote, and I quote, "Now go in and put all the weight of your influence into hanging on permanently to the whole Philippines. America has gone and struck a pickaxe into the foundations of a rotten house, and she is morally bound to build the house over again from the foundations or have it fall about her ears," unquote. And so basically, you know, this kind of shows the example of mm-hmm. that early imperialistic mentality. And
right.
And Theodore Roosevelt was very racist. I mean, he figured that the Native Americans, the Indians who inhabited this continent before the whites came over, mm-hmm. really didn't know how to take care of the land anyway, and they really didn't deserve it. So it was just fine and dandy for the whites to come in and kill them all.
Right, right. And the thing is when we put the Nazis in the context of the time period, it was still imperialism. British had an empire of over 400 million people. So we need to understand this was the imperialist era. It was completely acceptable. The problem is the Nazis came along a little too late. They were trying to preserve that order or restore that order in Europe specifically. Hitler never, ever had world ambitions. There is absolutely zero proof for that. And as we've mentioned before, the whole America bomber and Hitler's second book, nah, prove that it's even real. And then maybe we'll talk about that. But it was for Europe. And Himmler says in his speech, and this is a Posen speech of early October, it is not the Posen speech. This is a secret one, top secret, that's never been published until now, that Wolf came across and translated. He said, this might be interesting. And I'm like, I think you just found another gem. He has a way of doing that.
which is wonderful.
I don't know how. We come across all these little hidden gems. This has never been published, and I suspect there's a reason for that. Himmler is literally saying, we will govern the white races of Europe. We have nothing to do with Britain. They can have their little empire over, you know, overseas, blah, blah, blah. We are only concerned about Europe.
Right.
And because Germany is the most capable nation, and we have the power to project that capability, we're going to do it. And here's the thing. Hitler never originally or intentionally wanted to attack the USSR. He hoped that they could have a coexistence. And as Stalin became more and more aggressive and ceded more and more territory and violated the pact that the two signed, the agreement, Hitler started to kind of be alerted. Okay, this guy has other intentions. Obviously, you'd have to be an imbecile not to see it. So now we're at the point where if Hitler had just sat there and not done anything, the Soviets probably would have been able to crush Germany in a military assault. And they would have gotten the jump on the Germans. And we already know the Germans had far fewer weapons, far fewer soldiers, and their country wasn't as vast and perilous as Russia. So Hitler has to be seen as the savior of Europe in this instance. It
Absolutely.
Is just, there is no other way to see it. And that is clearly spelled out by H.W. Koch. And that is in the first half of the Union Jackal. Hitler is exonerated as far as I'm concerned on that. Now, the Polish issue is a little bit, you know, there's a little bit more aggression there on Hitler's part. We admit that. But at the same time, the Poles were not these innocent little flailing things that had no ambitions of their own. And they chose to take on Germany with Britain. That was a mistake.
Right.
They need to admit that was a mistake historically, because it
right.
was. It hurt them.
And notice the leadership in Poland at that time.
Right.
We do have to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough Pure Effect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Teravim. Teravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Teravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit Teravim.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Veronica Clark. And I was just looking up some of the dates that they hung some of the, what they referred to as the Nazi war criminals after Nuremberg. And I believe it was right around Purim. I'll have to check
that. Imagine that. Yeah. I can't even look at, I can't even read those things anymore. I can't. Ugh, that was horrible. So yes, there's a really interesting set of Alfred Rosenberg's memoirs. And in the very beginning, they have a picture of his dead body in this ludicrous introduction, like these fiends from hell kind of thing. And I thought, you put that as the introduction to his memoirs, unbelievable. Just the arrogance of the Americans at that time, because I believe these were published shortly after his death. Just incredible. So much hatred.
Yeah.
And, of course, the lies. So,
sure.
Real quick, I think the real difference between Germany back then, NS Germany, and Britain then and today, is that, and this is going to be the real battle that is waged, and it is going on in the United States right now, and I must say that me personally, I support socialism over capitalism at this point, is the idea of the ethno-state, that every state belongs to a particular folk that is based in a predominant race, or are we going to have versus like the British, money states, it doesn't matter who your citizens are, all you care about is profit and exploitation of the earth to make money for that state. Therefore, it doesn't matter who's running it. It doesn't matter what the welfare of the citizenry is. You have a mass pool of slaves the world over, billions of them. That is why they hate Hitler so much, because he challenged that view of the world, that setup.
I think it's important to define the word socialism.
Yes.
We have all been so indoctrinated to think of it as just the next step towards communism.
Right.
When in fact, socialism isn't really what we've been taught to think of it.
Right.
And it certainly is not what Hitler set up in Germany. And we have to also remember that capitalism and communism were both mm-hmm. designed under the European plan, Rothschild's European plan.
Right.
So the Jews designed both of them for mm-hmm. their benefit and for the benefit of the corporations that would grow up under the capitalist system. And we are living in a system right now that only benefits 1% of the population.
Right. And if you look at actual Russian communism, and Alexander Foot, I think it is, he's the one that talks about that in A Handbook for Spies. He really gets into detail in his conclusion about what that state looked like. It was the same deal. The top 1% got everything, and the masses were languishing badly, much worse than capitalism, because at least with capitalism, they keep up a facade of, well, you know, you may be poor and you may not have a job, but you've got your safety net. That's what they're trying to tell Americans right now. I'm
sure.
Sorry, but especially for a man who wants to have a family and provide for a family, joblessness is not an option. Get it straight, Wall Street and elites in this country. That
right.
needs to be the message. You either get jobs here that actually pay or you get out.
Right. And, of course, in communist Russia, they slaughtered a lot of people.
Right.
Whereas in America, they slaughter more subtly with vaccines and with other mm-hmm. kinds of things.
Yes.
It's basically the same thing, only it's much more subtle, which
right.
is what Trotsky kind of promoted. Okay, let's
right.
go in, infiltrate, do everything real subtle. And then you have Leo Strauss and all of his devotees come in and implement that kind of infiltration and that kind of subtlety.
Exactly. Yep. And it's the same thing with food. I mean, at this point, scientists, especially American scientists, are saying, well, sugar must be seen as a poison. Absolutely. Americans, most Americans, or a growing number of Americans, cannot control their eating. I think that's real clear. Now, if Hitler was in power, if we had somebody like that who genuinely cared about the people and the race of which he governs, he would not allow that to happen. The industries would have to either cut back the sugar or there would have to be some kind of regulations in place, because people, average people, really don't have the kind of power over themselves that they think they do. And it's like, I couldn't believe when I heard Glenn Beck on Fox News. He says, I want to be able to put whatever I want into my body. It shouldn't matter what I'm doing. I can, you know, stuff down Big Macs, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but when you look at how that harms the overall group, the health system, is it really any different than the meth addict who insists that he or she has the right to dope up with methamphetamine? It's the same result.
You're also talking about aspartame and fluoride, things that we have absolutely no control over,
right.
but the government does. Now, I don't
right.
think that Hitler would have allowed that.
Somebody needs to do something. So, yes. Absolutely.
Alrighty.
And that's socialism.
Yes.
That is a form of socialism, telling people what they can and can't consume or do.
Sure. All righty, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, my name is David Stovenel, and I host a talk radio show called Operation Restore Christian America. To listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. My primary focus is that the Protestant Freemason British Royal Windsor family is now apostate and making their final all-out attack worldwide in an attempt to force us to accept their satanic New World Order. I offer remedies of how to stop them. The British monarchy has totally abandoned their ancestors' genuine Christian faith and have returned to their effort to conquer the world through the sovereign's will, hidden laws, violence, terror, and deceit. Remember, to listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Have you been diagnosed with cancer and told that there isn't any alternative to chemo, radiation, and surgery? Are you tired of hearing that if you want to survive, you must be brave and accept the suffering that comes with cancer treatments today? LaserMed Inc. says, fight back! Because now it's cancer's turn to die with its revolutionary patented laser treatment called Leash Therapy. Without cutting, bleeding, poisoning, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin and breast cancer in place, as well as some other types of cancer, no matter what the size. To find out if you qualify for this therapy, call 918-398-9577. That's 918-398-9577. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's LASEMEDINC.com.
Our guest is Veronica Clark, and Lindsay Skyped me, and he said, Iceland is practicing a form of national socialism, and that is why they saved themselves from absolute destruction by the banking Jews. Being a homogenous people not influenced and broken by the Jews' strategy of multiculturalism, they united as one people and saved themselves from absolute and certain destruction. And I think the same thing happened with Libya and in other places where they were practicing exactly what Hitler had in Germany. And yeah, everybody in the country was a benefactor of this.
Correct. And that's why these countries need to be obliterated. Whether or not the situation changes in Iceland, we'll see. I have a hard time believing they're going to get away with that, but we'll see. It's just, this is really a battle between worldviews is what it is. And here's the thing. We're not going to pretend that the Nazis weren't kind of typical elites, okay? They did conceal things from their populace. For example, T4. Of course, that's been grossly exaggerated and lied about as well, especially the figures, but that's not the point. The point is that they did hide things from their populace. They did regulate certain things about their population, such as what they could and couldn't eat. They at least tried to influence that. They used propaganda, all these different things. They did take their population to war. Of course, in my opinion, it was a just war. But that's not really the point. The point is that you're always going to have a difference between us and them kind of a thing. But in the Nazis' case, especially Hitler, it really was Hitler in particular, this elite cared about the race. It cared about the health of the people. Hitler actually gave a squat, if you will, about Germans, their place in the world, that they were haves. Okay,
right.
That is something that our elites are clearly uninterested in.
Oh, just
Newt
look at
Gingrich
all the
preach is pandering to the Hispanic lobby and the Jewish lobby. He does not care about Anglo-Saxondom at all. Not at all. He just wants power. That is really the fundamental difference between the National Socialist German elite and the elites that have been kind of typical of the Anglo-Saxon nations, at least certainly after the war.
Well, the fact that Hitler came from, he did not come from the elite. He was
correct.
A common person who worked mm-hmm. his way up and understood the common man and the common man's needs. He was not a part of the elite. He grew into that position.
And that can never, ever happen again. And that's the point. That's why they must do whatever they can to keep you away from studying Hitler and reading Mein Kampf and taking it seriously. It is not a joke. Read the book. Read the Ford edition. At least it's readable.
Okay.
He saw exactly the same things we see today. You will literally find yourself agreeing with him page after page and going, this could be me writing this book. It really could.
Absolutely.
That's what they really hate. So,
absolutely.
Yes, he barely got in there, too. And that's an important point, and that's why they want him to be a Rothschild grandson. Well, you know, it was handed to him like everyone. No, it wasn't. No, and he was almost shot and killed. So if another person had not thrown his body in front of Hitler's, he would have died right then and there. So much for this elite that was given a silver spoon and elevated up into that position with a hidden hand. Didn't happen.
Right.
Didn't happen.
Exactly.
So I'm pretty much done with everything, but I thought we could touch on, since you have Hans Krampe, is it tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. We can talk about The Wellspring of World Domination, Chapter 25 of The Union Jackal.
All right. Let's do that.
He kind of inspired that. Okay. Well, there is a photo on the internet, and it's put out by his last name's Leitner. I think it's, is it Robert Leitner? Something like that. Anyway, that's not what's important. What's important is the caption on this photo. And this is in the Union Jackal. It shows these German children with these kind of special glasses on, and they're sitting in this room with all these lights, and there's a nurse there, and she's holding a little baby who also has a special glasses. Now, we do not know this for sure, Hans and I, but we're like 99% sure that was a vitamin D kind of experimental treatment back then, because especially in Germany in the winter months, people did not get as much vitamin D, and there could be a deficiency, especially after the war when they didn't have food readily available. So this was a post-war thing. I believe it also happened in Nazi Germany, that this little experimental thing was going on. Hans took part in that. The caption on Leitner's site, and he's an independent journalist, says that it is literally a Nazi experiment of the Lebensborn children, where they're trying to bleach their hair blonde.
Really?
It is no such thing. It is merely a vitamin D thing. And apparently the really bright lights, it induces the endogenous system of the human body to produce or readily accept vitamin D or something like that. I don't know the exact physiology behind it. But it's just this kind of reckless journalism about the whole Lebensborn program, and that the Nazis were trying to breed a super race and bleach their kids' hairs blonde. Idiocy. Why would they do it with lights? People, they had bleach back then. How do you think Ava Braun had blonde hair?
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
So,
oh my goodness.
Hans took part in it, and so I made sure and put his testimonial in there. And it was, of course, after the war that it happened. It wasn't even necessarily during Nazi Germany. Now, again, Leitner claims the picture is from the NS era, which it may well be. And I've run with that. I've accepted that. But it wasn't them bleaching their hair to create a super race. And here's another thing about Lebensborn. It literally means wellspring of life. That has nothing to do with Aryan. Where did we get this? It's more nonsense. Absolute rubbish.
The other thing that really is impressive in Germany at that time was the fact that they were kind to their animals. And when you consider a person, if they are kind to animals, then they're going to be kind to other human beings. It was illegal, and hopefully it still is, illegal to declaw a cat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yet we do it, you know, some people do it here in this country. I have two cats, both of which have front claws, and they're trained. They know where the scratching post is, and well, they have me trained. You know, Lily goes and scratches on the post, then looks at me because she wants a treat. So I was training her to use her the scratching post, and she was training me to get a treat. So
right,
it works very well.
Right, it's Ron Leitner, that's his name, and it's Edit International on the web, and it literally, the name of this article is Super Race Babies.
Okay.
So, yeah, and he basically says that the women that were introduced into this Lebensborn breeding program were sex slaves, but for some reason there were also volunteer German women, and they were supposed to form a kingdom populated by 120 million super Aryans.
Where do they come up with this?
And here's the thing. It wasn't even popular. It was really and truly, it was designed for SS men and their wives, so that they had kind of a special little registration for their children for the SS because they were the elite. Well, they've turned it into this insane thing. It wasn't even that popular, even by SS standards. Hardly any children even resulted from it. Only 7,900 SS members in a nation of 80 million chose to take advantage of the facility. 7,900 babies were born to SS men via Lebensborn. So how is that supposed to dominate the world? It's just stupid. Absolutely stupid.
Well, you know, people are going to make up all kinds of things just to cast doubt and all kinds of other things. A couple of questions. Why is Israel a state and not a country? You know, we always refer to it as the Israeli state. And so one of our listeners says, why is Israel a state and not a country?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody should probably look into that. The semantics of it. What is the significance there?
Sure. And why do they want to force statehood on Palestine?
Well, I think in that case, the Palestinians, the Arabs, if you will, are the only real threat to their power hold there. Everyone else is cowed. They're not going to do a thing to that state. But those Arabs still aren't happy with the situation. They want their own state, and you know what? I don't blame them. We all want our own state. The Kurds want their own state. It's just a natural human inclination, and it's one that the Nazis recognized, and that's what makes them quote-unquote evil.
Right. But forcing statehood on Palestine.
Forcing them to become Jewish? To become part of the Jewish state? Is that what they mean?
I think that's probably what this is going towards.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. They are not going to have a Palestinian state. No. It's going to be Jewish, and more than likely they're going to have to convert or somehow like Nuremberg law type submit to Judaism as the official religion.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Another interesting comment from Don. The first battles in the American War of Independence were fought in the areas of Lexington and Concord near Boston on April 19th, 1775, which would have been Purim. And it's it's very interesting that.
Yeah, it is. Nice pattern. Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
Yes. All righty, let's talk some more about some of these chapters in the book.
Okay.
You have one chapter, chapter 18, the final solution to Jim Condon.
And I actually spelled it conduit.
I know.
I did that on purpose. I did that because he always spells Hitler's name with a PH. So just at the beginning, one time, we get a stab on him. So we called him Conduit because his name is actually Conduit. It comes from High France or Northern France or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, that debunks Jim Condit. I'll just pop over to that chapter right now.
Okay,
yes. Contributions by myself, Luis Munoz, and Hans Krampe. We'll see if we can get Luis Munoz on here sometime. He's a little shy.
Well, we're friendly. It'll be
I know.
All right.
I know. That's what I don't understand. I said, don't worry about notes. Don't get all, you know, shy about it. He's very knowledgeable. It'll just come to him if he starts talking. And
oh,
he's very
sure.
good at finance stuff. So, yeah. The whole Ratisbonne thing, I want to make it real clear. We're not attacking Jim Condit. It's very important. And we appreciate that he did contribute this piece because it's made our own evidence and arguments that much stronger. And that is in the introduction to this entire book. No one is being personally attacked, but we do get a little hardcore on their theses because a lot of their theses are very irresponsible. Relying on a single person who may well have been Jewish, this Ratisbonne guy, to prove that the Nazis were Jewish, to me, is just, what?
Right.
It's like going to Christopher Bjerknes. With all due respect, Bjerknes has some good work, but he is a self-admitted part Jewish individual, and he says that the only problem is Zionism. Zionism, Zionism, Zionism. And so, since these people are the only problem, you know, they're the most evil human group since the Nazis, he makes that comparison again and again and again, and
yes.
I believe he accepts the official Holocaust story. Well, Condit relies on him too.
That's true. They're good. Well, I don't know whether they're friends, but Jim has been on his program a couple of
right.
times and spent, you know, several, well, at least 4 hours talking about his
right.
work on the Final Solution.
Right.
And of course, Jim has been on my program too. We didn't. He was on with Carolyn Yeager back in
right.
May of last year. And then he was on talking about voting. I believe we talked. No, we were talking about Blagojevich. And, I mean, he's a nice gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't agree with his premises about Hitler. And that's
right.
okay.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. And it still needs to be out there. It's important to have these things out there, but just know that he's relying on literally one person, this Ratisbonne.
Right.
And then as far as Henneke Kardell, that man likely didn't even exist. I don't know who wrote in his name. Somebody clearly wrote the book. So there is a Henneke Kardell entity. It's just he himself cannot be verified to have ever existed. Carolyn Yeager looked into that.
Right.
And I have what she's written. I asked her for permission to post what she had written about Hitler's half-sister having worked at this Jewish Mensa Club, which I put Jewish Men's Club just to get another stab. Come again, Jewish Men's Club? Come on. So we heard from a friend of a friend of a friend that she worked at a Jewish Mensa Club. No. It was simply a student kind of organization, cafeteria that she may have worked at. No one's verified it. The only person who made this accusation was Langer. And he wrote a scathing little diatribe against Hitler that's purely, it's pseudoscientific, 100%. It's basically 100% psychoanalysis by Walter C. Langer. How
right.
credible is that?
And the government,
any
the
one
government
of us can read Mein Kampf and go, here's what Hitler really was.
Yes. And he was asked to do that by the U.S. government. So that
exactly.
was
Look who sponsored it. It was the Mensa Academica Judaica student cafeteria in Vienna, and there's no proof whatsoever that she either headed it or managed it. She may have worked at this cafeteria after World War One.
Right.
So that's there, it.
There's a
that's
typewriter
it.
Issue, you know, in prison.
Typewriter. Hitler used a Rothschild typewriter. I mean, so, really? Come on, you guys. That one,
that's
that
it?
One really
that's...
makes me crack up. I didn't even address that one because it's not worth my time. But there's others. The fluoride one, we've got that in there.
Oh, good. All righty, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-5896. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-635-5896. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-635-5896. That's 1-800-635-5896.
Welcome back. One of our listeners asked about the Jews' final war. Do you know what? Want to make any comments about that? He said, ask her about the coming final war of the Jews.
I don't know what final war that is.
Yeah.
Just where they completely take world power, New World Order fulfillment.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But the problem is they're going to do it with Anglo-Saxons. So if Anglo-Saxons say no more, it ends right then and there. It's going to take the collective will and action of Anglo-Saxondom. And you know what? That would exonerate them for probably every crime they've ever committed in their history. They would do that now.
That would be, yes, that would be very wonderful.
Very powerful.
That would happen. But it takes education, it takes understanding what is going on. And,
right.
And people have just simply been so indoctrinated and brainwashed by media, by the educational system, by many things, that they really don't understand what is going on, which
exactly.
is very unfortunate.
And Heinrich Pudor in The Hyenas of High Finance, the two pamphlets that are in there, he really talks about that. He says Jews don't really care so much about money, like monetary power, but using the money and the wealth of the world, of the Gentile world, to achieve absolute political world domination. So he's ready to consult on that.
Right. Yes, exactly. It's about domination and about imposing Talmudic law, which is what they've certainly done here in this country. If you recognize the mountains law that we have, the 1,000-page laws, I mean, it's ridiculous, and that's what we're living under. And if people knew what was in the Talmud, if people knew how the Jews viewed most of the people in this country, that we wouldn't be so subservient to them.
Right. And as far as the Arabs, they need to understand that, too. I mean, if they're going to have good counter-propaganda, they need to grasp this. This is one area where the Germans failed. We need to research NS propaganda. We need to look at it, look at their policies and their international relations, and discover what it was that was ineffective about the way they conveyed their worldview, the way they, quote-unquote, sold themselves to the world, and say, how can we do it better? Because Jews and Anglo-Saxons are effective, and no one else is.
Right.
They're only effective to a certain extent amongst those who are disgruntled and against the system. It's like a certain type of American who's receptive to the propaganda of the Arab world. I see what they're saying. I see that Jews are this big threat. I understand why Iran likely wants a nuclear weapon, et cetera, et cetera. But the problem is, how do you get the average person to see that, who's still brainwashed? David Icke did say a good thing about how literally there are two lines of transmission or lines of thought in the world. And once you get onto the one, you can't go back. You can't re-dumb down. You just can't.
Sure.
You can't ever go back. It literally is red pill.
Yes, it surely is. Well, we have run out of time. Thank you so much for being on the program today. I always enjoy having you on. And
thank you so much for having me.
All righty. We're going to do this again soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks. All righty. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk to you tomorrow.